Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We're currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 11, ending in chapter 6, verse 3, where we see that in order to grow in our walks with the Lord, sometimes there are areas of our lives that need some progress. In today's message, Pastor Dave talks about how we need to not be novices and immature in our walks with the Lord. We need to grow in Christ and allow Him to take us from babes to full-grown adults. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Hebrews 5 with a message entitled, Babes in Grace.
Instead, what you should do is say, there's a young lady who's got no clue about dignity and some, you know, I want to use the word purity, but it isn't even purity. It's just a fad and fashion to them. For you, though, you look at it and you say, that's inappropriate. People are going to be distracted by, you know, by her look and her appearance of the going forth of God's word. You need to change the way you think and say, there's a young girl who needs to be discipled and encouraged and taught. There's a proper way to come into church. She's not at the beach. And let me love on her and minister to her and encourage you. Following what I'm saying, you older men that are here today in the faith, same with the younger guys. Some kid walks up to the door, second service, say, you're ushering, and he's got a cigarette or a vape, whatever's going on today, walking up to the door with his hat sideways and his coolie hanging out because his pants are sagged. You don't got to sit there and talk to the other ushers about what a jerk he looks like. You just got to say, there's a young guy who's got to learn a thing or two about respect coming to church and to hear the word of God, you know. Not a thing of you shouldn't wear hats to church, especially backwards, maybe before. No one wants to hear it. It's just a thing of be a teacher. And to be a teacher, you've got to be respected. And to be respected, you sort of got to earn that and deserve that in somebody's life so that they can give you their ear and learn and grow. You're supposed to be a teacher, I think Paul says to the Hebrews. And now instead of you being a teacher, you've got to be taught. And we got to go back to the fundamentals. Like these are things that we should be way past. I sort of feel a little bit. I kind of feel it a little bit when I take the stage here with our church right now in the season that we're in. And this is not like a me taking my belt off and giving anybody a spanking specifically or necessarily. This is not a thing of me taking the text and abusing it or seeking to use it for my own gain. I'm just keeping it real with you. I sort of feel this feel with the writer saying to the Hebrews with Calvary Chapel of the West Side in this season. I feel like there's this lack of like excitement, not on your end specifically, but on our church's end right now in their approaching of God's word. I feel like there is this, you've become dull of hearing. I feel like there is this, and I'm doing everything I can and my human ability to receive from the Lord and give it to you as tried and true as possible. I also feel like there is this thing of, man, you should be teachers not needing to be taught on certain things. You need to go deeper. You need to grow. The writer says the third problem here, another mark of immaturity, is your diet. He says, here's the thing. You can like milk, but you can't live on milk. He says, you're on this exclusive diet. You guys got it before. You all come back just to give it to you fresh. But he says here, at the end of verse 12, into verse 13, he says, you've become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Listen, that strong meat there is solid food. It's not like literally flesh. So he's just saying solid food. You've already cut teeth. You've got teeth now. You don't need to just suck a bottle anymore. What is milk anyways? It's reprocessed food. You don't need reprocessed food. You don't need your parent to bite little bites off anymore, chew it up and then pull it like a bird. You don't need that anymore. You can like milk, you can't live on milk. You can't be on an exclusive diet of milk. He says, for everyone that uses milk exclusively, is the language in verse 13, he is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He's a babe. He's immature. When a little one comes on the scene, they have to. They don't have teeth. They need something that is palatable for them, that will give them nutrients and that will give them life. But when you start to cut teeth, who wants to stay on a bottle when there's a filet mignon? When there's the Calvary burger, a bad apple bistro, why would I sit there and drink a bottle at a Monday meeting when the guys are having Calvary burgers with hot sauce and a poached egg and all these other things? I'm going to sit there with a bottle and drink the bottle of milk? If you just walked into there and saw me doing that, you would say, what is wrong with him? But if a little baby, my nephew Sonny, is with us and he's got his bottle, he grabs that thing with his paw now and he just drinks that milk, if he's doing it, you would think that that's cute because heaven has given us babies as one of the most beautiful sights in all of the world. But if a baby continues to grow physically but acts like a baby in every other which way, you look at that and you think, that's not funny anymore. If my son Charlo came running through the hall with his baseball mitt and his baseball in his other hand and he's got a pacifier, a binky in his mouth, not the sucker one, like a real one, and he's, I mean, you would say, hey, pastor, something's not right with your boy. And you all laugh because you know it. It's comical. And it's almost kind of like, okay, yeah, we get it. It's ridiculous, right? But so is when a Christian won't take the binky out of his mouth. Some of this is you, he's saying. You only want the milk, and we always want the milk. No one's saying that we're ever going to get past the milk of God's word, but we don't just drink the milk. We got to start eating salads. I should be able to come and talk to you about Melchizedek. I should not be afraid to teach our congregation Revelation. You know, the millennium, the second coming of Jesus Christ, some deeper subject matters. For those of you who are new to Christ, that you're the exception. But for those of you who have been coming here for a year, 2 years, 3 years, again, 5 years or more, like, we got to keep going here. I can't just pump you up with hope and excitement every week. You're never going to be what Christ intends you to be. There's more. He says the fourth problem here is you're unskillful with the word. You don't have a working knowledge of God's word. You look at Acts chapter 2 and Peter on Pentecost. He was able to get up and just start spitting scripture out from different places in the Bible. Just a working knowledge of God's word. It is true that if I didn't prepare for this sermon this morning, I'd still be able to give you something because there's a working knowledge of God's word within my life. He says, you're unskillful, you're unlearned, you don't know anything about scripture. You don't know anything about scripture. You don't want to know anything about scripture. You don't want to be taught. You don't want to read. You don't want to exercise and discipline yourself to be able to know things about Scripture. You just dismiss it. You just pass it off. You just say, well, I was never really a reader. I was really never much of a student. Do you know something? I was never really much of a reader. I was really never much of a student myself. The Holy Spirit, remember, he makes something new out of you. You become new. He gives you a new heart, new desires, the things for God. Listen, he's saying if you don't have that, something's not right. Do inventory this morning. Check yourself before God. If you don't got this hunger for God's word, prophecy, scripture, you know, understanding of these things, something isn't okay with you. I have to read things. My preparation for Bible teaching is so ridiculously foolish. If you were to analyze me, if you were to come starting on Wednesday afternoon all the way up to Sunday morning and shadow me and watch how I prep, it's redundant some of the steps I take. It's unnecessary some of the steps I take, but it's the way that I learn. It's the way that I comprehend. How many times I have to read scripture over and over. You might only have to read it once or twice. But listen, the Holy Spirit bears with me. He's patient with me, and he teaches me, and he unfolds it to me as I give myself to it. Some of you here, he says, you can't receive, you can't grow, because you're unskillful in the word. You don't got a working knowledge of it. And then fifthly and finally, he says, the other issue here is that you don't have any discernment, which makes it really difficult to talk to you about things like Melchizedek and things that are a little deeper because you're still stuck on, is this right or is this wrong? Is this good or is this bad? Is this holy or is this evil? When you should not have to know, that should be past this. I want to go on to you, with you on these things. And I got to come in. I got to talk to you about, you know, this God is for, this God is against, because you're still hung up on these things. It's like me trying to talk to you, say, can we chew gum, Pastor, real quick before you start? You know, can we wear hats in here? Can we do this? It should be a thing of, that we're past that. I shouldn't have to reintroduce these things to you every week. He says in verse 14, he says, but strong meat belongs to them that are full of age. Even those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern according to God what's good and evil. Like God thinks this, so you think this. You see, God's thoughts become your thoughts. So it doesn't matter what the culture says. It doesn't matter what this global pastor says. This is what God says, so this is how I see it. I can't take you on to newer, fresher things because you're still hung up on that. It's not a process. It's not up for conjecture. It really, quite frankly, doesn't matter what anybody else says. If God says it, it settles it. We got to move on. But you're babes in grace. Instead of growing and going and becoming a man or a woman of God, you're staying there because you just want to, if you live with your girl before you get married, but you sleep in separate rooms, you still want to do that. But you don't do anything. Well, if you don't do anything and you live with your girl before you're married and you want to marry her one day, something's wrong with you. How do you not do anything with the person you want to marry? Can a Christian drink or can a Christian drink? The Bible tells you what a Christian can do. Get past it now, he's saying. Why do you want to stay there? Why do you want to always make everything into a point of contention? It's not a point of contention. The scripture gives clarity. Move on. If I do this, can I still go to heaven one day? The Holy Spirit will give you discernment of what is good and what is evil. Receive it, move on from it, be taught further things so that you can become a mature, seasoned saint. See what I'm saying? Therefore, we conclude, he says, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let's go on. He's exasperated. Any of you teachers, you get it. You can get that way too. Let's go on, he says, to perfection. Let's be carried forward. We build on the foundations of Scripture. We don't camp on them. They should become more, you know, full of splendor. They should become more powerful and more glorious to us as we go, but we don't camp there. We build on them now. Let's go on, he says, to things like this. And now I'm going to sort of categorize these six things he gives here in these opening three verses into three subject matters. He says, let's go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation, I'll group these first two together here, of repentance from the dead, works, and of faith toward God. Like, salvation by grace through faith. Let's go on from this. That's how we're saved. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. There's no other way. Let's go on from this. Works don't save you. Jesus saves you. It's belief in Jesus plus nothing. It's Jesus plus nothing. Let's move on from this, he says. Of things like, verse 2, the doctrine of baptisms. It's plural. So he's including there, you know, the Holy Spirit coming upon a believer, Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. He's talking about water baptism, which, by the way, I'm going to do a topical on the Sunday before July 10th to give everybody clarity and understanding on what that's all about and who it's for. Just a quick plug there real quick. But he's saying here, water baptisms, those are rudimentary. Those are elementary. They're fundamental. Salvation, laying on of hands, to pray over the sick, to anoint elders, ordain pastors. These are all things that are very, very base, he says. Giving further examples, the resurrection of the dead, end of verse 2, and eternal judgment, John chapter 5, if you want more on that. Revelation chapter 20, if you want more of that. The Old Testament is full of a general resurrection. The New Testament gives specificity to that resurrection. Everybody will rise again. Those in Christ and those outside of Christ, cremated or not cremated, that's a famous question. Pastor, if I get cremated, what happens? Nothing. We go to ashes anyways. Don't worry about it. It'll save a lot of money. You're going to resurrect. Everyone's going to resurrect. He's going to bring it all back together again. Our bodies are going to meet up with our spirits, and we're going to stand before God. Everyone is. Some unto life and some unto death. We're going to stand before him. If you're in Christ, you're going to stand before the Bema seat. And you're going to be rewarded according to what you did faithfully. What was not faithful and what was not right is wood, hay, stubble. It's going to burn up. And what you did do with the right heart, God's going to give you crowns for, I believe. And all you're going to do is cast them back onto his feet, but nonetheless, he's going to reward you. And then he's going to give to you, he's going to allot to you your territory that you're going to rule and reign on and with him during the millennium. See, these are things that you should be able to receive if you are in Christ. And then if you're not in Christ, you're going to be resurrected too, but you're not standing before the Bema seat. You're standing before the great white throne of judgment. And you're going to give account for everything that you've ever done, because what you've said to God in essence is this in rejecting Jesus. I don't need him to stand in my place. I'll stand in my place when that day comes. God says, here's a substitutionary atonement in my son Jesus Christ. His perfection could become yours and your imperfection could become his, and he'll pay the price for it and you can be scotch-free. You can be clean when you stand before me. You say, no, thank you. I'll deal with that when I get there. So you'll deal with that when you get there. And every idle word that you've ever spoken, every thought that you've ever had, and everything that you've ever done, you will, in fact, give an account to Almighty God. And you and I, no matter what stance we take in Christ right now, will live forever. I don't know why people think that we just cease. We don't cease. The Bible teaches that there is no annihilation. There's continuation. You either continue in glory with Jesus forever because you've put your faith and trust in him solely, or you will spend eternity in the lake of fire that was created for Satan and his demons, not you. Loving God doesn't send anybody to hell. Christ's rejecters send themselves to hell. And that's what the Bible teaches. And quite frankly, he says, that's things that you should know in the beginning, and we shouldn't have to re-go over every single Sunday. Let's build on these things. Let them become richer. Let them become deeper. Let them become more clear and more beautiful over time. Naturally, of course. Let's go to deeper waters. We're not babes in grace. And this we will do, he closes, if God permits. If God permits. Let's just keep going. A healthy thing for you and I to do, though, is to spend some alone time going back to verse 11:14 of chapter 5 and sitting with it and saying, God, are any of these things speaking to me? This checklist that you have given, Lord, are any of these, is that why I'm just not feeling it lately, Lord? Is there a responsibility on my end here, Lord, where there's, you know, some blame here for my stunted growth, for why I'm just sort of becoming numb? I kind of feel like what Pastor said in the beginning, I sort of feel like I was made for so much more, like a lion in the jungle. But instead of getting up and roaring, I feel like I can't even get up. I can't even erect myself. I feel like my limbs are numb. I can't even get into that proper posture of what I was created to be. Maybe then you got to go back and revisit to the things that he's saying we got to go on from. In order to go on, I got to check myself. Because I shouldn't be a babe in grace. I shouldn't be acting like a toddler. I should be a man and or whatever you are this morning, a woman of God. I'm going to invite the worship team forward and we'll close this service in a word of prayer. I just think my little one Harper, my five-year-old, she's my baby in my house. So for you, a five-year-old isn't a baby. Maybe your oldest is five. You know, maybe your oldest is five or one of your older children are that age. So you got even younger children. You got something to look to and connect with and relate to. But for me, she's the baby. So I look to her and when I think of a babe, you know, she's my babe. And I think of how she speaks still. Her grammar, you know, she's, you know. Yesterday I go into Wegmans and I got her and my daughter Stella and we see my cousin Vinny, really, and another friend from high school, and I'm talking to my cousin Vinny, and his truck is huge, so I'm looking kind of up to him, talking to him, he's got it way jacked up, and out from behind, from the passenger side, comes mine and my cousin Vinny's friend, Nick, who is with him, and he bear hugs me and messes with me and says how he's going to beat me up or something, joking around, playing around. And my daughter Harper was troubled. She didn't understand. So when we said goodbye minutes later to the guys, we're walking into Wegmans, and Harper says, "Daddy, how come he wants to beat you up?" I said, "Oh, no, he doesn't. Number one, he can't beat me up, just so you know. He can't. And number two," I said, "is this." I said, "He's joking with me." And she goes, "Are they like your brothers?" And I said, "Yeah, they're like my brothers." She goes, "Them your brothers in Christ?" I said, "Sure, you know, whatever. No, they're not, but just them, you know, the way she speaks it, the way she constructs her sentences, it's cute. Them's your brothers in Christ, you know, is she's doing, you know, the way she says, she mixes it up, it's cute. Last night when I'm tucking her into bed, she wants to put her little hand around my neck and she pulls me into the bed and she wants to just hold on to me and rub my hair, rub my back, show my skin soft. If she does that at 20, something's wrong and weird. If you came to my house and Sean said, "Oh, he'll be right down," he's tucking Harper into bed in 15 years from now. And you said, "Oh, let me see, this must be cute." And you came up the stairs and there I am, you know, with my 20-year-old daughter and she's rubbing my skin, and because her hands are this big and she's doing it. And she's 5 in her little nightgown and she's doing it. That's awfully precious, isn't it? It's not precious anymore when it's no longer age appropriate. It's alarming. We got to go sit with these things. I had to sit with them. The one that pierces me is that dull hearing. I want to come ready to receive. I want to come ready to grow. We never arrive. We're always attaining. So no one here this morning is saying, "Well, I no longer have a time to grow." No, you certainly do, or else you'd be dead. There's more for Jesus to do in you. I got to sit with this and say, "Lord, are there any areas in my life where I'm still a babe in grace? I want to become a man, a woman in grace of God." So, Lord, we close this service, and we thank you for this time to come and to huddle around your word. We ask you that you would take these truths, penetrate the depths of our hearts with them. Areas, God, where maybe we got to grow, Lord. We need to move into deeper waters with you. And, Lord, we ask you that you would give us that conviction and then the right response to it so that we can take it personally and seriously. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your patience with us, your forbearance. We thank you for how long-suffering you are and how kind you are. Continue to work in us, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. God bless you guys. Happy Father's Day again to you, Dad. Let's stand and worship the Lord.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.